unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot. Welcome back to Unwarranted Music Opinions, the show where three music fans choose albums that the other two have to listen to, and we return and we try not to murder each other. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Chaz Jenkins.
Hello, everybody.
Brian Courtney.
Hey.
And
I don't even know if that picked
so
up.
So, to give you guys a mental image of what is happening.
We're in a janitor's closet.
We're in one of our recording studios.
Chaz messed up.
But we're all crammed.
Chaz messed up.
We're all crammed into a small space.
We're locked out of the production studio. So now we're in a small news booth, which is, it's cramped with two people, and there are three people and two microphones.
This is going to be interesting.
All right, so this is the sequel episode. We've all chosen albums by artists that we've already talked about.
The album I have picked was by the artist Buckethead. It is Colma. I believe it is his third studio album. It came out in 1998. Personally, I consider it to be probably his best album. But I mean, again, with him, it's a variety of sounds and experiences with each release. So it just depends on what you're looking for. For me, what I like most about Buckethead is presented in this particular album. So Buckethead Land 2 was the first album I picked by Buckethead.
It's a weird concept album too. It details the theme, the amusement park that is Buckethead Land, and some different characters within that environment and in that universe. The problems with this album are the myriad of skits that run one after another that kind of are grating, and some of the playing is more technical than it is good. Overall, I remember that album being a positive experience.
You gave it a 6, I believe.
Because it was really intriguing. And even though it was something I wasn't going to come back to, it was one of the weirdest things I had heard up to that point. And I had heard weird music, and I usually gravitate towards weird music, so this was pretty interesting that it could make me think about it in that way, or make me feel that way about it, about how weird it was.
And Jacob?
I give Buckethead Land 2 a 5. I agree that it was a really interesting experience, but it's not one that I'm ever really going to return to. So I was kind of split down the middle, a little ambivalent. I'm glad I listened to it, but I'm not really going to come back to it. But obviously that album is very different sonically than
Colma. Oh yeah, as we'll get into this, each of our records are completely different from our original picks from these particular artists. To give a little bit of my thoughts to Colma, it's an album I grew up with since middle school, that's one of the artists, Buckethead, I was listening to back at that time, and I just remember listening to this album over and over so many times. It's actually been a good chunk of years before I listened to it recently for this episode of the podcast, and I was happy to say that a wave of nostalgia hit me when that first track hit, but I still thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope you guys did too, because it's very different than what you're used to with your introduction to Buckethead, but let's get into it.
Yeah, this album's great. It was pretty much amazing. On my second or third listen, I was having trouble still finding flaws with it. The deeper I did listen, I did find stuff to criticize. But overall, I mean, it's a pretty enthralling experience. Less is more. It doesn't matter how well you can play the guitar. One of the best albums of all time is played in standard, and you learn the chords your first day. You don't need to be completely proficient and play these amazing solos, these climbing down and up the neck of the guitar, just masturbating. Like, you can just play these basic arrangements, you know, and then take the production in an enthralling direction and make the sounds pleasing, and it ends up being leagues above anything you probably made before.
I'm crying. I'm so happy. I thought you guys were going to crap all over.
I was trying to...
The goal was to be ambiguous.
Yeah, like you asked us a little bit, you know, vaguely what our thoughts were a couple days ago, and I was like, well, it's certainly different, because I just didn't want you to be clued in. But yeah, this album is great. I remember you...
in the high school,
right? Yeah, I was probably 15, and, you know, wasn't very well-versed in ambient, because this album, I would say, is like acoustic ambient. It's mostly just acoustic guitar, very, very nice, pleasant melodies, and the drum machine going on, and usually the drum
machine...
There
is some actual drumming, though. Mm-hmm. The drummer from the first album, Brain, he's back again. He's been Buckethead's drummer forever, so his playing is on here, but there are uses of electronic drum machines as
right.
well.
Right. It's usually very simple drumming, just sort of keeping a nice beat.
And there's sometimes like very subtle, like kind of white noise or like kind of just beneath some
there's
of the
There's a little
tracks.
Bit of turntablism in here. Just
yeah.
a little bit. And it makes for a pretty interesting sound. Yeah, and so back when I first heard it, I wasn't really well versed in ambient music. I was I really wanted to get a melody. I didn't feel like enough was going on. Well, you know, I was stupid back then. And that was like 6-7 years ago at this point. So coming back to it now, immediately I really enjoyed this thing. I really enjoyed the atmosphere. It's definitely a mood album. But despite it being a mood album, I don't think it's not memorable. Every time I came back to these songs, as soon as the song began, I was like, oh, I remember this one. I know where this melody's going. I found this whole album to be very memorable melodically, even though it's more of a mood album. I really enjoy this thing.
Some of the best songs, in my opinion, are Whitewash, Big Sir Moon, which is some of the best acoustic playing you'll ever hear.
And that track's really short, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank God, too, because it's a moment when he starts playing again, it's getting a little more technical. I'm like, no, no.
He just lets it, again, less is more. There's not other stuff going on around it. It's just like a little minute-long
solo. I love
solo.
How it, like, goes well, around you.
The
I
track
love
names
that,
here
that
are really smart. Like, Big Sir Moon is like a moon cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, the moon is traveling around the Earth. I think that's how it works.
Watching the Boats with My Dad is another beautiful track. For Mom is too.
For Mom is probably my favorite on the album. I just
beautiful
adore.
Song. I actually love Hills of Eternity. It's like a perfect song. It's amazing. Ghost as well. The first four tracks are actually the first six are pretty much flawless. Wishing Well is the first time I kind of have a problem with the album. Some of the ambient tracks, they're a little too minimal. Sometimes it does work against the album a little bit, especially on Wishing Well and my least favorite song, Wandering, which is just, it feels like we're in the weeds. Like, where are we? It feels like riffing, and it's just kind of like,
I'd
it sounds like
that.
He's meticulously deciding what to play. And it does fit in well with the name of the track, which every track here pretty much does, even Ghost and Ghost Part 2, which are like calm and spooky music. This is like Halloween music for your grandma.
I feel like the more pleasant and beautiful melodies on here work a little bit better than the spookier tracks, with the exception of the closer. I really, really like that weird, I don't know what it is, but this like loud kind of descending, I don't know what, I think maybe he's just like, he's just like sliding down strings really, really quickly, and it's kind of distorted.
And slowed as well.
It's just weird kind of sound that it's kind of spooky. But I agree with Brian. Wishing Well isn't my favorite track on here, and Wondering also. But, you know, I still enjoy those songs, but they don't stack up to the rest of the album.
I think my favorite song is Whitewash. That is one I always
come
back to.
It's a lovely intro. Yeah. It's so simple. All that's going on, I need that beat. Like, that's it. It's for the whole track, more or less. And then the guitar playing is just really nice. It's like, welcome to the South. Hello,
such
we're here.
Such a cool riff.
Yeah. It's simple. And the production on this thing lends itself to, because, you know, if you just had this minimal playing without the production, I think the album actually would suck.
I think my only issue with the album, especially coming back to it, I think some songs go on a little too long, but that's just because I've heard this album so many times. I just kind of, like, know what to expect. But
But
that's just a nitpick, honestly. These tracks are so beautiful, and it's not like I want them to stop. I just love
the longest track here is only a touch over 6 minutes, so I don't think really these go on too long.
The album clocks in at 54 minutes, and it's breezy. It's no problem.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, I always feel like this album is a little shorter than it is when it's playing. You know, normally I would say if an album's 54 minutes long, you know, that's probably a solid 10 to 15 minutes longer than your average album. So it has to be doing something to kind of justify the length. And I definitely think this album does that.
I think the title of the album leads to, when you listen to this, you just get put in this trance where you're just letting the music flow and come at you each one at a time.
It rewards an active and a passive listener. You can hear this thing in the background and still appreciate it for like the tone it can set in a room. But if you listen actively, I mean, there's a lot of interesting, like, you can really appreciate the production around the guitar.
Right, I agree. And I really enjoy, especially on For Mom, I could definitely tell the little chords underneath the main guitar melody. Just those really nice open chords, probably in, like, open D or something. I can just tell, like, when he's playing those, I can kind of relate to it, because that's the kind of guitar that I like to play. And those are the kind of tunings that I enjoy. So I'm just hearing those throughout. It's just a very nice, serene kind of guitar sound.
When it comes to Buckethead, for me, I love the ambience. I love calm and soothing melodies. I feel like some of his best playing comes out of works like this. But some people really like the heavy stuff, like Buckethead Land 2, that very heavy production.
And there are moments on there that are really good and interesting. I think in both cases with Buckethead, the thing I've been consistently enjoying is how interesting it is. You know what I mean? This is a cool, like, Buckethead Land 2 is this weird conceptual journey. This is a soothing conceptual journey, and it goes across many topics, and it doesn't have to address anything lyrically, so it's even more free to, like, it's all in the instrumentation. So on a track like Watching the Boats with My Dad, which is the most minimal track on here, like, there's so much gap between the strumming on the guitar on this track.
I think that's the point.
No, it's great.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's you know, it's...
There's competent composition going on here.
You're sitting on a pier. Like, you can put yourself in these situations. It's a very, like, go-to-your-happy-place album in that respect.
Yeah, I definitely think that the use of silence and atmosphere is really nice. I always love that kind of live, open sound in a production. You know, when you can hear the distance between the instrumentation, it's kind of hard to quantify, but it's just something in the mixing and something in the way that everything is put together. I really, really enjoyed that aspect of this album. Sure, it's breezy, and sure, it's ambient, and sure, it's pleasant, but I feel like it's more than those things. Mm-hmm. You know, saying all of those things makes it sound like maybe this album isn't ambitious or isn't deeper in some way, and I do think it is, especially with the, you know, the names of the songs, where Buckethead was coming from when he was writing this. His mother, I believe, had cancer, or had she just died?
I think he made that song for her.
Right.
Like, for her to listen to while she was in the hospital. I knew at the time, I haven't looked up it since, but I do believe his mother was in the hospital.
Right. I'm reading here. She was sick with colon cancer, and he wanted to make an album which his mom would enjoy listening to while recovering. So, yeah, I'm glad this album was not inspired by her dying. It was more of a pleasant thing to listen to while
and
she was going
tells,
through her
time. Like, God, could you imagine just listening to this in that state? Like, I bet it was calming for her. Like,
it's an emotional album. It's not, I wouldn't call it innovative. I wouldn't call it, it's not like experimental or anything like that.
Right.
It's just a good ambient album. The playing on here is simple. The drum machine on here is simple. The production is maybe the most ambitious part, but I mean, it's nothing amazing. It's just that the sum of all those parts and the sum of the track listing here and the context which within it was made are all adding up to this album being incredible.
Musically, you can see the basis for this album, some of the more ambient kind of jazz of the late 70s, kind of the Durruti column in the early 80s. I feel like the guitar tone especially, I can really hear the similarities in the Durruti column. So yeah, this isn't like a...
You gotta love that classical guitar sound.
Right.
With the acoustic. So, so beautiful.
This isn't like a, you know, a wild musical statement, but it's a very personal and very just enjoyable one. You don't have to be making a grand statement to be making a great album.
It's hard for me to appreciate music like this sometimes because generally speaking, I need something thrilling to some degree, you know, loud or memorable. Because I'm not much of a melody man or a rhythm kind of guy. Like, that's rhythm more than melody. So, like, a, you know, Buckethead is, the guitar player is going to be about the melody most of the time. But this album succeeds in tone and succeeds in the enjoyability so much that I can get past that with basically no trouble. Even the tracks that kind of get into the weeds a little bit, like Wandering, are perfectly listenable. I never skip anything. I like to experience it as a whole. Strong 8 to a light 9.
Oh, yes! 9 out of 10. Love this album.
I want to ask, is that an 8 or a 9?
Is it more of an 8 or a 9?
Yeah.
If I had to pick, it's more of an 8, but I kind of want to ride the wave. I'm probably going to listen to it more when I get out of here, because I think it's great. I just want to know where I really am at it. I don't, you know, I love it. It's the thing
Absolutely,
that is
yeah.
important to convey.
I'm at an 8 with this. Chaz, would you say that this is a good place to start with Buckethead?
Absolutely. This is, when you want to start getting into his catalog, listen to this album first. It's most, what's the word I'm looking for?
Approachable.
When you want to get into Buckethead, listen to like his acoustic ambient albums.
Yeah,
he has a few in his catalog.
There are some people I've talked to who are put off by Buckethead because of the image and the persona and the idea that it's just kind of goofy and silly.
And
it can be, but this album I feel like is a good way to, you know, lose those expectations and kind of understand a different side of Buckethead. You know, if I was just going to hear Buckethead Land 2, probably wouldn't be that driven to listen to his other music that much. But after hearing Colma, I definitely want to, you know, go to Electric Tears, like you mentioned. I haven't heard that album. And kind of explore a few more albums in his discography, for sure. Thud, my heart pump blood. When someone talks about my time is shut. Who gets that? The album that I chose is Feeling Kind of Free by The Drones, their most recent album released in 2016. The first album that we heard by The Drones was The Miller's Daughter, which was released in 2005. Very noisy, garagey, like punk blues album. super, super unhinged and very grimy. Feeling Kind of Free is a bit of a stylistic shift for the band. You know, there's hardly any blues rock here. It's more of, it's hard to describe. There's more influences from industrial, post-punk.
Yep.
The only label that I can think to put on this thing is just like art rock. It's experimental, it's weird. It's definitely a big shift from the band. It's 16 years-ish into their career.
There's also hip-hop on here.
Yeah, there's like some old-school hip-hop sort of vibes going on. But I want to start with Chaz, because you didn't really like The Miller's Daughter all that much.
Yeah, well, me and Brian should say what our initial thoughts were on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I liked the sound, I liked what it was doing, but just some moments in the album where I was really bored. While there was some great lyricism going on, I just did not care much for it. I gave that a 5. I'm sorry, Jacob. I was not a fan. That is not my type of music.
All right, Brian, make me feel better.
Miller's Daughter is a masterclass in noisy blues rock that is weak in song structure and songwriting, but amazing in energy, playing, and the lack of production. It's a B-sides record, and it's one of the best records, one of my favorite records I've heard this year, even though it's not from this year.
I am interested to see what you all think about Feeling Kind of Free, because this was actually my introduction to the Drones, so it's really interesting going back into their back catalog and seeing the progression.
It's actually a much better introduction to the Drones.
I would say, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. This is leagues better than The Miller's Daughter. While I didn't love what I was hearing, I thoroughly did like a lot of what was going on. There were many moments on this album where I was like, wow, this is interesting, intriguing. I'm not bored out of my mind with just... Let's see. I think my favorite track is To Think That I Once Loved You. Yeah. Absolutely love that track. Those harmonies and when he would scream that
I
second
knew
part
would
of
pick
the
that.
It is so
it's a solid pick.
Beautiful.
It is.
It is so beautiful. It's but like right out of the gate with Private Execution. And that's the thing.
I love that line about him being blindfolded with a cigarette, talking about, and he's in The Lizard Wants to Die Hard. There's some amazing lyrical moments on here.
Absolutely.
Sometimes and Boredom are really good tracks too, I think. In my personal opinion, I think, though, the second half of the album is better than the first half.
Really?
I really, like, once To Think I Once Loved You hit, I was really getting into I was listening to.
I have, like, the opposite opinion. But I really respect that opinion because it's very different than the norm. I feel like, you know, if anything, this album is a bit front-loaded, even though I do enjoy it all the way through.
Well, there's a lot of, like, the melodies and interesting instrumentation going on here are prevalent in the beginning half. I just think song-wise and melody-wise, the second half is more interesting. Like, after track 4, just each track is just some beautiful, wild, crazy music.
You're more into the cool-down moments, like Tailwind.
Right.
Yeah. Though Shutdown Seti was a little too much for me, especially in the like near the end of the track. Is just
when it just explodes and drums
yeah,
out.
Not a fan.
You're just not a noise rock guy. I found
not just because like I can only take so much. I like a little bit of it used in, but when it's just the whole time, I'm like no,
love
stop.
That moment.
We can stop now.
Great way to end the album.
I can actually take or leave that moment. I think it's all right, but like as far as you know, I don't think it fits the song. If I'm being honest, so I'm kind of like okay, this feels thrown in for the sake of cool production. But
I guess
think
it makes sense
working.
As an ending track because it does end like. I don't know, musically, it's just not pleasing to me, sonically.
It still caps off the album really well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Tailwind is my least favorite drone song I've heard. The backup vocalist, she's a great backup vocalist. They know where to put her
you
in
mean
the songs.
Sometimes? Is that the one? That's the one where Fiona sings.
Is it?
She's on the lead in Sometimes. Yeah.
I believe on, I thought it was Tailwind.
Nope, it's Sometimes.
Okay.
I do like Sometimes. That's a great track.
Is Tailwind not the super... chill, like, melodic track that's kind of, like, just... It comes right after To Think That I Once Loved You. Am I tripping?
You
I guess
are.
I'm tripping.
Yeah.
Ryan is tripping before us, everybody.
Yeah, everybody. I'm sitting and tripping. It's amazing. Then it would be Sometimes. And Tailwind is a moment I remember not in particular liking on the album that much either. But aside from those two tracks, you still get... I pretty much have the popular opinion. It's front-loaded, pretty much. The first 4 songs are incredible, especially Tom and Shud is not only extremely lyrically smart, but is super catchy. Love the line on Boredom, the track that comes later on in the album, just talking about lyrical moments I enjoy. The no one ever sees the bottom of an oil well, and talking about how, you know, like there are other countries going through horrible atrocities and people are just being slaughtered and there's famine. And he's saying, like, you're just lucky you're able to feel boredom. It's a really, really smart moment on the album.
Lyrically, this album is...
Oh, yeah. Lyricism ability has not left at all since The Miller's Daughter.
Gareth Lydiard is basically taking the tourist sort of... the version of Australia promoted by the Australian like Tourism Commission, if there was one, I don't know, and just taking it and kind of murdering it with an axe and burying it in the backyard. Super, super cynical, very more pointed and political than the band had been in the past. Tom and Shud is a very, very good example of that. I've really enjoyed that song for a long time, but when I went through and looked at every single reference on Genius, like where it explained every single thing, I'm not from Australia, so I didn't catch them all, but oh my goodness, every single line on that song is just one after another. It just talks about so many things.
I think anyone could appreciate the line, though, about the guy with the tribal tattoos.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
you came over on a boat. And like, he just like writes them off.
With a few other words in there.
To Think That I Once Loved You, that's a solid pick for favorite track because it's really nice and pretty, and it's a moment that more people can relate to. It's a song that if you're going to listen to the drones, you'd probably be able to relate to more if you're not going to be
I
able
think
to.
I think it's a good song to start with.
Yeah, maybe. But it's not a primer for their sound. Most of the songs don't sound
but
like that.
But it's just, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah, I also want to point out, And Then They Came For Me.
Yep.
I think that especially, I love the melody. I love the background vocals when they come in on the chorus. I love on the verse, the bass. I love how the bass just punctuates. It's doing some wild things, and it's one of those things that maybe you don't catch on first listen, but that's one of the things that's grown on me. And again, I would say sometimes, even though originally it was probably my least favorite on the album, has grown on me the more I've listened to this album, and I do really appreciate where it comes in the track listing especially.
I think the most intriguing melody, though, is in Private Execution. I've never heard a melody like that. It's so, but it works. It works so well. It was definitely, like, interesting.
And then the warped guitar on that track. The little, I don't know what it is, it's kind of the groovy little... You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, right on the verse, it's like, I don't know what kind of instrument it is. It may be like a, it's almost like a maraca kind of just little flourish there that I really love. And musically, oh my gosh, just musically, there's so much happening. And
I like that it's
so many little things.
I like that it
production.
Takes a twist on, like, because this sound isn't new, I wouldn't say.
They're
like, especially in To Think That I Once Loved You, I've heard that sound done before, but it has an interesting twist. It's changing the formula up, which I can really appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Private Execution and Tom and Shud are maybe the only songs I heard where I was like, I've not heard anything like that. Like, the way Private Execution plinks along is, like, so weird, and then they do it even better in Tom and Shud. And it's catchy, too.
It's super catchy.
There's some really catchy songs on here.
Yep. I think this is, they're pretty much doing everything right that they were doing on The Miller's Daughter with
It's interesting to think that we got from The Miller's Daughter to this. I wonder, like, where the shift came from.
Gary Lilliard walked into the booth. I read this when I was reading up on this album, and he said, if I have to make one more blues song, I'm going to kill myself. And he was like, and my band responded positively, and we didn't. And then they made the Private Execution.
Well, I like
the first
this sound
recorded.
Way more.
Well, you
personally.
Know, the drones always had the noise rock elements, and especially live, they would take it even further than they did on the album. So that kind of guitar experimentation was always there, so you can kind of tell that they probably are into like Sonic Youth, maybe some post-punk, so I feel like you could definitely see the influence in their earlier work. This album kind of takes that and expands on it. You know, the most recent Drones related release, which has Gareth and Fiona, the two main members of the Drones, Tropical Storm, with another word there in the middle, released an album in 2018 that is kind of like the sound on Feeling Kind of Free, taken even further kind of to its logical conclusion. So they're still working within this sound and moving their sound forward.
Well, I like it. This definitely makes me personally want to get more into this. So if they keep doing stuff like this, I'll definitely check out more.
Yeah, you should definitely check out A Laughing Death in Meat Space, which is the Tropical Storm album.
It is. That's a great way to put it. It is this sound at its, like, at its, probably the best it can be, if I'm being honest.
Most refined.
I don't think there's anything more to be done with it after that album, honestly.
Yeah, I would even say you would probably enjoy a lot more other Drones albums that came before this, because like I said, Miller's Daughter is the least songy Drones album there is, pretty much because it's kind of like a B-sides, just jammy, noisy album. Albums like Havala, Wait Long by the River, Icy Seaweed, all those are way more song-oriented. And you'd probably appreciate them a lot more than Miller's Daughter. Miller's Daughter was a terrible one to start with, but it worked perfectly for the Unhinged episode. So I wanted to choose this album because it's where I started with the Drones, and it's definitely a more immediate sort of album.
It works, too, because, like, Coma was how I got into Buckethead. Like, that was, like, one of the first albums all the way through I listened from him.
And, of course, you know, you don't want to start with On the Moon with Death Grips. You don't even want to start with Jenny Death, you know, but it was, I thought it was, it made sense to do it as a sequel because it's
a
double album.
Feeling Kind of Free, 7 out of 10. I liked what I heard. It's probably, there's a few things I'll go back to, but I didn't love it, but it's leagues better than The Miller's Daughter.
After repeated listens, I actually don't think this is as good as Miller's Daughter. It's not as consistently thrilling. Even though the songwriting is not there on Miller's Daughter, it's still a really engaging, even lyrically sometimes, even though it's way more, a little more cryptic, a little more dark also. I think the successful songwriting here is not met with the consistency of how good the songs are throughout the record. Because moments like Tailwind and sometimes the latter half of the album, we get in the weeds a little bit. It's not as good. So I'm feeling a light to decent 8.
All right. I'm going with a 9 on this because this album, it's just grown on me more. My criticism would be that it is more front-loaded, but the songs in the back half have grown on me. This album as a whole has grown on me because every time I listen to it, I feel like I get something new out of it. Every time I listen to it, I hear a new instrumental flourish, something cool that's been done with the production. I appreciate how metallic the guitar sounds on Tom and Shud and the way that the bass works on And Then They Came For Me, or a lyrical moment, something that I didn't catch before, because this thing is very, very dense, I think, musically and lyrically. I'm really glad that I found this album. I think 2016 wasn't a year that I was keeping up with new music all that much. I saw reviews for this album. It was, you know, supposed to be post-punky, noise-rocky, experimental, and that sounded appealing. So I was like, all right, I'll finally dip into 2016 albums, and I heard this. And now I would say that The Drones are probably my favorite just straight-up rock band after the year 2000. Definitely the most consistent. And their entire discography, I feel like there's not a single dud. And this album just proves that as the years went along, they never lost sort of the creative energy and the spark that is throughout their entire discography. This is definitely a 9 for me. It's fantastic. I really enjoy it every time I return to it.
The album we're going to talk about now is the second disc of the double album, The Powers That Be, from Death Grips, titled Jenny Death. Death Grips is an experimental hip-hop trio from Sacramento, California, forefronted by rapper slash vocalist slash yelling man MC Ride, the drummer Zach Hill, who had previous work in math rock bands like Hella, and he was huge in the indie rock scene for a little while there, indie rock in quotes, indie scene more so, and Andy Morin, aka Flatlander, who is on production, engineering, and the synthesizer. This is their fourth studio album, an album after which they said they were going to break up, and then they didn't. A very Death Grips of you. And this is the second half. So, a little context. We heard the first half of this album, On the Moon, which was dropped out of nowhere by Death Grips. And then 8 months later, we got Jenny Death. There was a release between both discs of this double album. On internet forums, right? They, forum users waiting for months, because you don't get any word. They're not, Death Grips isn't saying anything. They're, like, the only thing we got in between that was, we're gonna break up, but we're still gonna release Jenny Death.
And didn't they announce the breakup on, like, a napkin?
It was written on a napkin and posted to Facebook.
Wow, what a bunch of edgelords.
In between, though, forum users, in an outcry, were crying out, Jenny Death, when? So Death Grips releases an instrumental album of scrapped instrumentals, assumedly for their song, titled Fashion Week, revealing the date of release for Jenny Death, and the track names were Runway J, Runway E, Runway N-N-Y-D-E-A, until it's spelled Jenny Death Win. So,
nice.
Amazing.
A bunch of trolls.
And then, 8 months, and then on Fashion Week of 2015, we get the second half of The Powers That Be, Jenny Death. Nothing like On the Moon.
Absolutely.
Very different sound.
Sonically, nothing like On the Moon. Entirely. There are guitars all over this album, but that was the first half. The first half we listened to On the Moon is mostly electronic. The drums are clearly a set of, like, Roland, you know, E-drums. And they multiple vocal samples of famed art pop legend Bjork that are all over this thing to the point where it's a lot.
Yeah, it's an overwhelming album. It's an album, if we're going to talk a little bit about what we felt about that one, It's an album that at first I was just, again, overwhelmed by, but as I listened to it more, you could, like, I really saw that the song structures, though they were strange, they were there, and these songs started sticking out to me, and I started remembering all of everything that was going on, and just musically, it was such an exhilarating experience. I really, really enjoyed On the Moon.
I absolutely hated On the Moon. I gave it a 2, and I didn't read the lyrics. Do I stand by that decision? Probably not, but I was trying to make a point of just how abysmal that entire sound and experience was for me. Did not like it, did not enjoy it. However, ooh, Jenny Death. I love it.
Jenny Death is an amazing rock album. It fuses elements.
Well, Death not Group, a rock album.
Some points it is.
Death Groups fuses so many styles it's hard to tell. Because there's
it's just Death Groups.
There's psychedelic rock. There's still hip hop. There's
absolutely tell they're from San Francisco from all the psychedelic rock.
It's Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Fake fan over here.
You've ruined the recording.
Look, both of them are Californian cities
that start with an S
C
and are.
Are S. Man, syllables. I just need to stop.
All right, and Jacob's off the show. Anyway, yeah, there's elements of cyberpunk. That's a genre. There's even like gleamings, just little bits of gabber music, which is really good music. Just little bits and like some heavy distorted bass on a couple of the songs. But that's not the point. The best tracks on this thing for me, so I can just get this out of the way, are Inanimate Sensation, Turned Off. I can't. You say piss? Can you say that?
Just,
PSS.
Yeah, no, because it's not what you think.
No, it is.
It's exactly what you think.
It is.
It's not spelled that way. That's what I'm trying.
But it sounds that way.
It literally is that way. Yeah. So we'll call it PSS.
Well, we've lost two hosts today. It's the Chaz Show, everybody.
Hey, unwarranted Chaz opinion. We'll just call it
the PP.
Yeah. So on PP, there's PP is the weirdest song. It's like,
oh my god, it's so strange.
What is going on?
Yeah, like the chorus, the way.
I would disagree. I think I Break Mirrors With My Face in the United States is the weirdest song.
Oh, not at all. I think that's most the normal song.
God.
I'm reminded of like Black Flag, like just the repeated mantra, just the flurry of sound. I mean, it's basically I'm listening to this whole album, very very punk influenced, very and even like. I want to say with the guitars, I'm reminded of like Black Sabbath at times, especially on tracks like Turned Off and on GP.
But, Jazz, talk about the album. Just take it, you know, the tracks you like. Just
Yeah, you were going to, there's a few tracks you wanted to know my opinion on.
Of course. The big tracks I were worried about, that I knew, it's kind of a mix of tracks I knew you would like and hoped you would like. Inanimate Sensation, PP. And on GP were the main three I was thinking
of. I liked Inanimate Sensation. I actually really enjoyed PP. And on GP was okay. It wasn't my favorite.
What?
My favorite songs were I Break Mirrors, PP. Centuries of Damn. I really, really liked that
I knew you
song.
Would love that one the most.
And The Powers That Be. That was a good song.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's an underrated song in my opinion.
On GP is not just it's like a meh? Is that just a meh?
I don't care for it that much.
On GP is the best song in this album. On GP is...
No, the best song on this album is Why I Got a Lie.
On GP is miles... For me, personally, I enjoy this track way more than any other Death Grips song I've ever heard. And maybe that's, you know, a song that doesn't sound a lot like the rest of a band's discography ending up being my favorite song, but I would be lying if I said it wasn't. The guitar line on this thing, the instrumentation, the drumming, the energy, the lyrics, the delivery, everything about this track is...
Lyrically, Chaz,
it gives me shivers. It's seriously, like, it's the only Death Grips song I've ever connected to, like, that immediately and that deeply.
It's one of their most personal songs ever.
It is the most personal song
ever they've written. It's a track that details the suicidal thoughts of lead singer MC Ride. Plain and simple, it goes through. There are a myriad of moments on this song that stick out. Namely, in the beginning when he is... There's organ breakdowns between the verses of the track. But the chorus, I'll talk about it kind of taking the song structure and just going piece by piece. In the first part of the song and on the chorus when he says, I'm tired of all the perks. I've tried nothing. Everything works for less I'm worth. I've served my bid. Life was just a bridge. Just kind of talking about how it's completely removed from... existing and being alive at all, he's just dead. And he's like, I'm just waiting to die. I'm good. And he's talked about killing himself on this track when he talks about, when he details in the verse where he's talking about, I live down the street from you, notice me, I've never seen you. That's how I met Zach Hill. And he's like, you wonder what I do? Listen up, my most recent purchase, old black rope. I'm gonna tie it up, hang it in my chamber. And talking about hanging himself. There's a moment on here where the best part of the song, where he says 3:30 in the morning, which is when the portal between this world and other worlds is weakest. Death is at my front door, knocking. He hands me his scythe and says, use at your own discretion. It's been a pleasure, Stefan. Stefan Burnett is the real name of MC Ride.
It's the only time, I think,
it
from
is,
what I read.
It is. It's the only time he's ever used his name in a track. He's used Zach's one time. Andy gets nothing. Andy's garbage. It's just canon. And the organ, I mean, everything on this track is pretty much flawless. There's two flawless tracks on this album. It's On GP and Inanimate Sensations. The organ breakdowns on On GP are incredible.
And the guitar lead, like when that chorus comes in again.
God.
And the line that you just mentioned, that it's been a pleasure, Stefan, that is the line where I got chills listening to this track.
The end of the track ends on a hopeful note. Oh, and another great moment of this track when he talks about ringtone jingle my swan song, phone ring too long, his phone's ringing, someone's calling him, he won't answer because he's dead. It's brilliant. But on the end of the song, where he's like, which brings in the title of the track into play, when he says, all the nights I don't die for you, wouldn't believe how many nights I ain't died for you, on GP. Do you know what on GP means? On general principle. Ooh. I'd kill myself because I should. It's incredible. And the way that Beyond Alive and Centuries of Damn play into that track are really smart in the track listing, too. Admittedly, Beyond Alive is one of my weakest Death Grips songs, but it's fine. You know, there's nothing insufferable on this album. And the way the album careens into the suicide at the end is such a sudden drop-off. On Centuries of Damn, too, when he's like, I pull my face out the dirt slow. You know, it's really just a fitting image. And the line where he says, I ponder digesting razors just to be rid of this world. It's crazy suicidal. It's so dark. However, we're going to talk about the best tracks now that are blood-pumping and genius. I Break Mirrors With My Face in the United States is incredible. It is so... The best part of that song is when they just get to the part where Stefan's just like, trip, 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 and just gets louder and louder. It's like I'm being filled with adrenaline needles and no one will stop, like, just filling me with them. Inanimate Sensations, I'm going to stop talking about the album after this, maybe, blew my mind to pieces. God, the way it starts with that vocal line. It's brilliant. Like, and the songwriting.
Brian is literally like foaming at the mouth.
The songwriting on this song and the lyricism is so smart. It's literally talking about being obsessed with inanimate things and the world we live in now, which no one talks about. Phones or computers or being bullied online are mentioned in tracks, but no one takes this angle. And that's why this band is so smart. There's so many smart lines on this song alone that, like, it just, between this and On GP, like, God, if every other song on this album were half as good as these, it'd be a masterpiece. But it's not. The moment where he says, invades like thermonuclear invasion, he's talking about turning your phone screen on and how bright it is. There's the other moment where he's, the third verse, God, the blood pumping that we're just naming off in this, like, very, like, boom, 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 like, tone, just things, just inanimate things. He's like, my headphones, my medicated noose, talking about prescribed medicine that he's probably abusing. Lysergic stat, like, my sink, to the point where he's just naming ridiculous things. He's just like, ice in a sink. The second verse is probably the smartest on the whole thing, where he's talking about, like, strictly still life with all of my occasion. Everything, you take pictures of everything. It's just brilliant. And the not only that, but the instrumentation behind it is, like, mind-changing. It's like opening you did not even know music could sound like this before this track. The way it just the vocal line that revs it behind it, the drumming is just, doesn't matter. It's incredible. Oh, man, I love Jenny Death, and I love Death Grips. Jacob, thoughts on the rest of the album?
Yeah, that Inanimate Sensation is definitely one of the best tracks on here.
God.
I absolutely love the way that rock elements were incorporated into their sound. Listening to this album, especially tracks like Turned Off and On GP, I was just thinking, man, I wish there was more stuff out there like this. And, you know, there's still one or two Death Grips albums that I haven't gotten to. I don't know if they continue along in this realm, like Bottomless Pit.
This one's unique. This is why this is highly praised. And this is one of the albums, like, it's this or The Money Store, the most hotly contested for the top spot. In my experience online, like, most people are like, it's either The Money Store is their favorite of all time or this one is their favorite of all time. This double album as a whole, anyway.
I just, musically, so many things going on. The incorporation of hip-hop, industrial, electronic, and just straight-up, like, hard rock. Like, Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath-esque hard rock guitars. On GP is just a straight-up rock song. I mean,
it's ballad.
It's basically, yeah, it basically is. Like, it has, the drumming is kind of wild.
God, on the first verse, the drumming is insane. That is, yeah, like, the most, they just let Zach drum. Like, that's how he drums when he practices. So it was just go. Like,
right, and Ride's delivery, obviously, is still his delivery. But sonically, I mean, and structurally, it's a rock song. Which, again, makes it kind of feel bad saying that that's my favorite Death Grips track. But, again, it's so amazing, it can't not be. I think my least favorite tracks in the track listing here, I think that The Powers That Be and Beyond Alive go on a bit too long.
What did you think of the spoken word bit at the end of The Powers That Be?
Oh, I enjoyed that. I do think, you know, those tracks, I think Beyond Alive goes on for a little over 6 minutes. Powers That Be is almost 6 minutes, five and a half-ish. I feel like you took maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes off of those tracks, I'd be a little more into them. Mm-hmm. But musically still, you know, still really, really interesting. I still enjoy them quite a bit. I just think that there is a little bit of a lull after PP and up until on GP. Centuries of Damn, I really enjoy. The first half is a little better than the last half, despite the fact that on GP comes right at the end.
I used to feel the same way, but with even more listens, I just thought Beyond Alive and Centuries of Damn just played perfectly into on GP. You have Beyond Alive, this track where, like, I'm invincible, I'm the best. Centuries of Damn is the come down, and on GP is the, like, horrible conclusion. I just think it's so smart. Even if I do agree Beyond Alive is kind of a weaker track, and Centuries of Damn doesn't do a whole lot for me, even to this day, even though I like it much more than I did when I started, they just play into the last track so great.
Every track, every song, every sound that makes feels has purpose, makes sense, adds to the fury and energy to what MC Ride is screaming about. Whether it's on GP or Inanimate Sensation or I Break Mirrors With My Face.
He is really screaming.
He is, the energy on this is phenomenal. And it's not annoying. On the Moon was annoying. I did not like On the Moon. And I think these guys should definitely have more of a rock sound than an electronic sound.
The guitar breakdown on Turned Off is thrilling as any drug ever. It's crack cocaine localized in a headphone. It's amazing when he's that boom, and then they just, oh, it's good. The entire song, PP.
I think my only issue here is I did look at the lyrics.
Yep.
I actually did. It's a little dense. It's a little dense.
Is that a complaint?
Kind of. Like, I feel like a lot of the times it was hard for me to understand what they were singing about. I mean, on GP is pretty spelled out when you actually just read them. But a lot of the songs, when I would look at the lyrics, I'm like, what is this about?
I don't know. I think
that's a nitpick because the sound is so amazing.
What songs lyrically do you think were the weirdest to pick apart? Because I have a few in mind too that I don't really understand.
I Break Mirrors, Why a Bee Gotta Lie, maybe PP.
PP definitely.
It's just a few moments where I was like, what are you trying to convey here?
PP, as far as I can tell, is just like taking sex in a gross direction. You know, Why You Gotta Lie is just bragging. It's just a braggadocious track.
The weakest song on the album is Why You Gotta Lie.
Okay, that's fair. Because what they do to the vocals, MC Ride is literally just a robot on that track.
But even a weak Death Grips song is still leaves beyond anything I've ever heard before. So it's not saying much. This is a damn good album.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great.
It's so frustrating that the first part of Powers That Be is On the Moon, and then it goes to this.
The way these two albums relate is not at all. They're totally
I guess
different.
That was the point.
Literally, none of the themes explored on the first half of the Powers That Be are explored in depth on Jenny Death at all. Maybe in PP, maybe. But like other than that, we're not really getting anything. Except maybe in Up My Sleeves, though, with the suicidal nature of the track. I don't know. The when you bring these two parts together, you get... And On the Moon...
It doesn't work. I'm sure you've heard The Powers That Be all the way
through. Of course, yeah, it works.
Does it? It does?
Yeah, the way that Big Dipper, the end of that huge drum solo plays out into... You get a, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I feel like it's Whiplash, though.
It's like Zach stops drumming, and then we're here. Like, it's like do-do-do-do. And you get that huge distorted rush. It's
break mirrors with my face in the United States.
No, I love both half. I love these albums. I love Death Grips.
Which you like better, Jenny Death or On the Moon?
On the Moon, ever so slightly. It's so innovative. It's so new. Nothing in the world sounds like that album. And not only that,
maybe for a reason.
But it's great. It's because no one else is as smart as this group. No one is taking sound.
These guys are. Their use of beatwork is. There's so many moments where, like, the drums, like, do, 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 and, like, switch up. I love those moments. I love every beat switch up.
I don't even know if in listening to more music and more of the canon and the backlog of music will even show me the influences that go into something like On the Moon. I don't know how you get that album. It's similar to This Heat's Deceit.
Experimental electronic music.
I bet they listen to Aphex Twin. There's a lot of Aphex Twin.
I can see, like, Autechre, if that's how you pronounce that name.
I know
what
you're talking about, yeah.
You know, that's the connection that I made when we talked about that album. I would say that I probably enjoy that whole album a little bit more than Jenny Death. Although On GP is my favorite track by far from both of those albums, I'm going to give Jenny Death an 8. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And as a whole, The Powers That Be, a solid 8 out of 10
for me. Both albums, we're collectively doing. I am feeling a strong 8 on Jenny Death because it's genius. On The Powers That Be as a whole, it's in my opinion, it's the second closest they've ever come to perfection. It's a Like, if we're looking at this numerically, if we want to boil it down to a statistic, sure, both, like, you know, On the Moon's a 9, this is an 8, so you average them out to a strong 8. No, decent to strong 9. The assembly of this many great songs in a row and the combination of innovation, pure energy, raw authenticity, as much as you're going to get from Death Grips, and amazing songwriting, and like, Up My Sleeves, and Have a Sad Baby, and... On GP, Inanimate Sensations, I Break Mirror. Between all these amazing songs, the worst song on here is still amazing. Decent to strong 9 on The Powers That Be. The strong 8 on Jenny Death.
I give an 8 to Jenny Death. I thoroughly love this album way more than On the Moon. I did the math. If I gave On the Moon a 2 and Jenny Death an 8... Powers of B, strong 4. Woo! Love it.
The average is skewed a little.
Let's just say if I listen to Powers of B all the way through, I'm going to be skipping the first half tracks.
First
and
six
just,
tracks. Yeah,
and just go right into I Break Mirrors. Next time.
Next time, we are going to talk about...
It's just normal. It's a normal episode.
It is. The little known indie rock band Life Without Buildings released an album... their only album called Any Other City in 2001, and I want it's a unique indie rock album. It's got an interesting approach, and I'd like to hear your all's opinions on it.
Frank Ocean's Blonde from 2016, the highly anticipated sequel to Channel Orange.
We're gonna bring some electronic music, like some mainstream electronica. The guys are really worried, but I assure them that this is a really good album, in my opinion. It's the sixth studio album by Canadian electronic music producer Deadmau5, very well known in the mainstream electronic music. The album title goes here. It came out in 2012. I listened to it in middle school and I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's probably the longest album we've ever done on this show, clocking in at almost 80 minutes. But I assure you, it does not feel like that long.
If you pick another average-ass, hour-and-a-half-long, mediocre album in a genre that, when incessant, is... Oh, Jesus.
This has been an episode of Unwarranted Music Opinions. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Chaz Jenkins.
Woo!
Brian Courtney. And we will return... whenever we happen to return.